All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
Happy Thursday at Training Camp Thursday, August 3rd on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz here with Lee DeCamper with JoeBucksFan.com. And, of course, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is with us, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, it's good to see you. You're looking good. We're live at One Buck Palace. Unbelievable. You look like $1 million. You look, you're not a day over 65.
48 hours, Stephen. 48 hours. It's a good name for a TV show, and it's a good way to say, stick carriers, I welcome you with open arms, because, boy, time's getting short, Lee. Can't wait. You know, there wasn't a lot of excitement out there the last time I went out to a Buck practice, Lee. It's going to be markedly different on Saturday morning.
Well, you know what's exciting, Ira, is that you have great sponsors, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. They present this podcast, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. That's your 2016 Cadillac Dealer of the Year, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. And, of course, today you're sporting your charcoal gray, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, and Brandon, a polo shirt. You look fantastic, like I said. And
I'd have no wardrobe without these people, Isbitz. Zero. I got no wardrobe.
Well, we've got the August offers in place now at EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com, all kinds of other opportunities there as well. Edmores Cadillac Brandon, fantastic, yeah. Pre-owned, everything.
Maybe I should go in. I got a birthday this month, Steve. Maybe I should go in, get a little, you know, a little birthday bonus from the boys.
You got summer sales events. You have 2017 clearance events starting. You know, we're almost at the 2018s in the car world. Ira, it's a great time to purchase a vehicle. It's August. It's August. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. And Ira, also, let me throw out there, FanRetreat.com/Miami. Now, that is you. I have some news for you right here on the podcast. Any fans going to Miami for the opening day, the night before the game, 5:30 to 7:30, they can party with you. Free beer, free food. This is all at a hotel. All the information is at fanretreat.com/Miami. Now, Ira, we announced this the other day. Within 12 hours, 25 RSVPs for your party. And you know what?
I hope they booked a big room over there at the Kemper. They might need a big room.
And you know what, Ira? I don't even know if those are 25 RSVPs, as in we're bringing party of two, party of four. So it could be 70 people already running to hang out with Irv.
Now, wait a minute. I don't handle crowds well over there, Isbitz. You saw me at the at Legends Sports Bar. I don't handle crowds very well.
But the great news about all this, fanretreat.com, if you use your code, discount code JoeBucksFan, you can book your hotel, stay at the same hotel as Ira, where the party is, the Hampton Inn there in Miramar. Get tickets to the game, fanretreat.com. You go there, you learn all about how they're sort of a combination of StubHub, Expedia.com, travel, whatever you need. But Ira, people can hang out with you the night before the Miami game, and you're going to be telling insider stories. You're going to be doing Q&A. Lee's going to be there. It's going
to
be
outrageous. I'm in no rush to leave.
And Lee let me know that he's probably going to have a couple of beers. Pretty good odds. All right.
I'll have a little Bette Midler playing in the background before I tell my story.
We're going to get some Riesling, maybe pipe in a little Barbra Streisand as you walk on the stage. CEO Sean Lemon of fanretreat.com. We're going to be talking to him later in this broadcast to give us a little bit more information about fanretreat.com, which is pretty cool.
Lee, I feel this is incumbent on me to clear up a misconception. For all you fans out there that think I'm 90 years old and I'm into Streisand and Bette Midler.
And you have Sammy Baugh's autograph?
The greatest album ever made is Layla and Assorted Love Songs, 1970, Derek and the Dominoes, oh, Eric Clapton and Duane Allman. I like blues rock, Allman Brothers, Bob Seger. People like that. So enough with Tom Petty. So enough with the Bette Midler. Don't put me into that that little closet.
You realize you brought up Bette Midler.
I my wife wanted to see Bette Midler. You know, if Madonna shows up, we might see her. Now, McCartney was just in town, Lee. Those tickets were about $500.
Ooh.
I don't care if he's a Beatle. I ain't going for $500.
I got a question for you. Since you like blues rock, is this too off-the-wall blues rock? Led Zeppelin, AC/DC?
It's right there.
Really?
It's right there.
I can't see Ira headbanging AC/DC.
It's right there, DeKemper. Wait till that fan retreat night. You know,
but
the
Led Zeppelin,
the
first
going to get another look at me.
Led Zeppelin, the first album, clearly was blues rock.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of old traditional blues in their own style.
Now, we've got some Bucks topics on the docket today. And now for everyone, Ira, I want you to address this because I think everybody started this podcast with quite a laugh. I had a little one-on-one with Mr. Chucky, John Gruden, and I asked him, as everybody heard, I asked him about Ira Kaufman and what he thinks of you.
Unbelievable. You could ask him any question on your mind, including what's going on with the 2017 Bucks. And Lee, he asked him about the sage of Tampa Bay, Ira Kaufman. That's what makes Izbits, Lee.
He knows what he's doing.
And then he played the answer for me. I couldn't believe it. You know, Gruden trying to do a Kaufman imitation. I mean, that's hysterical.
Well, for our listeners, the little bit of background here. I was right there when Steve was asking Chucky this. I was interviewing Brad Johnson at the time, who was maybe 5 feet from Chucky and Steve. And I heard Steve ask the question to Chucky. And I don't know how to describe it, but Chucky just kept glancing back and forth with a weird, devilish grin on his face. Like, what the hell kind of question is this?
I think Gruden trying to do a Brooklyn accent is absolutely indescribable.
Well, here's what I think actually happened. I talked to John in advance, no microphone, saying, hey, I help Ira host his podcast, you know, work with Ira, you know, blah, blah, blah. We give him a lot of crap on the podcast, so I want to ask you on the record about Ira. You know, you say what you want to say. You can needle him. You can say whatever's in your heart. He's like, all right, let's do it. So I hit him with the question, and he appeared to try to get into some sort of Ira Kaufman character, like to try to channel you to do your voice. And I think that's what led him to look around a little bit. I'm guessing, but he failed on trying to imitate you. And I don't know. Maybe he didn't really think I was going to ask him that. But
hey,
Lee,
I think it's worth mentioning, and I think it's a big point in Gruden's favor. It hasn't always been hunky-dory with me and John Gruden. Remember, I'm the guy who, in the middle of a dismal, atrocious 2006 season, in which they finished with, I think, 4 wins, that was the Bruce Gradkowski season. In the middle of that year, I wrote a column saying that Gruden and his agent are putting out feelers for other teams. When he was, and it came out in the Tribune the day of a game, a home game. And you can imagine, that was the first question after the game.
Who asked you?
I didn't ask it, but I was around. I showed up, and he said, whoever wrote that story is an idiot. Now he knew who wrote it. So it hasn't always been, you know, peaches and cream. But I got to give Gruden a tremendous amount of respect because he said I was fair, said I was loyal, considered me a friend, and that I do my homework. So I'm kind of humbled by those remarks from Chucky.
I'm going to tee you up with a Chucky story. You got to tell it because you're an integral part of the story. It's the Christmas party that didn't happen. You remember what I'm talking about?
You know, DeKemper has a memory, Steve. Elephants would be proud of it.
You got to tell this.
Let me give the beginnings of it.
Well, if I remember correctly, you went up to Gruden, and I guess it was a sort of a semi-tradition with Dungy that you guys, the coach, Dungy being the coach, of course, would get together with the media in the media room, and there might be an exchange or two, or it might be some cake, or it was like a mini Christmas party, holiday party. And you went up to Gruden, and Gruden was all for it, and he blew it off.
I think that's right. And I told everybody in the media room, expect Gruden in about an hour. You know, we had the cupcakes, we had everything. You know, Izbits brought in a couple of knishes, and and no Gruden. No Gruden, you know, so I go up to the PR guy later. Hey, he forgot all about it. so much for respect over there. You know, but he was a busy man. He was dying in place for the Falcons were coming to town.
Sure, sure. I have to say, I didn't know that you had that little friction in 2006 with Gruden, so we learned something new every day on the podcast. It makes it even more impressive that he's praised your talents and your focus and your credibility as a journalist.
And Steve, I'm also the guy 2 years later that said they're knee-deep in negotiations with Brett Favre and reported that Gruden had talked to Brett Favre and Favre's wife and that everybody went to bed thinking that Favre was common when every time that Gruden and Allen were asked about it during that whole process, they said, we got a little bit of a toe in the water, nothing going on with Favre. They didn't want it out there until it was done.
Yeah.
That they were, you know, all involved. So that was another point of contention, you know, ultimately, because my name was on that story. So, you know, I'm thankful I got a good relationship with Chuck.
And what makes it even more interesting, him praising your credibility as a journalist, is he knows you work for JoeBucksFan.com, so that's fantastic, fantastic.
And I guess you asked him something about his future plans, Stephen.
I did. We're going to get to that. We have a lot to talk about here on training camp. You know, that's where we are, live at $1, so we got some stuff going on the field. Some things have been happening. And this was John Gruden's day, his news conference.
Joel Glazer was in the house.
Joel Glazer, Brian Glazer, Malcolm Glazer, and Chucky going into the Ring of Honor later this year. And today was the big news conference. Chucky was very available. And I did ask him the hardball question we talked about in the last podcast. So we can get to that. So, Ira, though, this team is practicing. Bucks 5 days in, they're in pads. Something the Sage of Tampa Bay took away from today's session, anything, a vibe, a feeling, something on the field. Give me some Sage.
Everybody's still talking about a third-round draft pick, DeKemper. They can't go 2 days without talking about Godwin. The guy keeps making plays. Adam Humphries, you know, look out. And it's not like Humphries isn't a good player. Proved last year he was. Finished in grand style against Carolina. Might have been the best player on the field that day. I think he had 10 catches. Don't remember Humphries dropping a lot of balls. Don't remember Cam Brate dropping a lot of balls last season. But Godwin, he's living up to his reputation as a guy who will fight tooth and nail for the football and make the tough catches.
I agree with you. He is. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the last podcast or not, but what you brought up, like look at Adam Humphries. After the first day of training camp, I asked Humphries, I said, you know, hey, you saw what everybody saw. The Bucks went out. They got receivers. They, you know, granted O.J. Howard's not a receiver. He's a tight end, but he's basically another receiver. And I asked Adam, I said, you know, what's going through your head? I mean, I'm sure you're going to be back with the team, but you got to admit your touches or your targets and your catches are very likely to go down. And his response was, I want to win.
Great
I want to win.
Great
because answer. I've had games where I had no catches. I've had games where I've had 10 catches. I want to win.
Cutter, and that goes back to what Cutter's been telling these guys. Win and there's enough to go around. Lose and all of a sudden people start to bitch.
Lee,
and that's very true.
Lee, what have you been seeing from Godwin?
Well, today being Wednesday, once training camp starts, I lose all track
it's
of time.
It's all blur over
oh
there,
my
Lee.
Gosh, yes. Today I saw Godwin have the best practice so far, and this was the second day of pads. Now, he didn't have a perfect practice. He dropped a gimme from Jameis. It was an ugly drop, and I tweeted out it was an ugly catch. Is there such a thing as ugly catch? I don't think so. But it was an ugly drop, but he made some really good catches. And to Ira's point, he really fought for a ball one time. I can't remember who it was against. I want to say it was against Kwon. It was a short pass, crossing pattern. I want to say it was against Kwon. It was a linebacker, that I know. And he fought for the ball, reached out, pulled it in, which he's got a habit of doing. You look at his catches at Penn State. He didn't catch with his body. He caught with – he uses almost like a power forward. He used his body to block out so he'd reach for the ball.
And Evans is good at that too.
Yeah, so and another basketball player, by the way, there. So I just think that Godwin was showing in practice what he showed at Penn State, his reputation, that he would fight for the ball in traffic. And that's what he was showing today. Like I said, he had one bad drop, but – and I talked to him after practice and – he said, you know, I don't look at it as a good practice. I just look at each practice as a step to get better.
And, Steve, another continuing storyline at camp. And the stick carriers are going to see it for themselves on Saturday. Yeah, Kendall Beckwith is on the fast track. He's on the fast track, Steve, because 2 months ago, we didn't know how many practices this guy was going to take. They're going to be easy with him. You know, they got to go slow. Everybody's different coming back from a knee. We saw Darrell Revis. He was okay as a Buck. He was nowhere near the Darrell Revis we were familiar
with. He wasn't
with.
Fully recovered, yeah.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Beckwith, I got to be honest, Steve, I didn't think he'd be running to the ball with this kind of abandon. Absolutely no distress, no thoughts of, I might hurt my knee. He's playing free and easy. And I'm telling you, Steve, you put Beckwith together with his LSU alum and Levante on the other side, all of a sudden linebacker looks like a strength right now.
I'm impressed that he's on the field. Very impressed that he's on the field. And I think that's what really colors our attitude is that, hey, this guy's 8 months, 8.5 months from ACL surgery. Beyond that, I don't know how impressive he looks, but we'll see. There's a lot of time. It's very encouraging. Preseason will be big for him because he'll probably get a lot of reps like a lot of those guys do.
Steve, from what I see in training camp, it's obvious to me, and I don't want to make an early judgment, Lee, but without that knee injury, I think Beckwith might be a second-round pick. I think it clearly hurt his draft stock. Teams weren't sure about him.
I absolutely agree he was a second-round pick. No question about it. That's why he dropped, because you don't know with a knee surgery. I think it's fair to say, you know, we're all of us are surprised that, you know, that's a heck of a comeback. 8 months, not 9 months away, maybe.
Dirk Cutter expressed his surprise the other day. He said, man, his first day out here, he didn't look good at all, but he's gotten comfortable. And 8 months, you know, hey, Lewis Murphy couldn't do it. That's why he's not here, and he's in San Francisco.
And as you said, Darrell Rivas, he was struggling to come back. Well, I think it's fair to say, and we've had comments on JoeBucksFam.com about this, not so much comments, but questions. I think it's fair to say every knee injury is not created equal.
Absolutely not. And you know what? I'm not a doctor here. I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor, but the guy's got to go through some contact, and he's got hurdles to climb, but this could be a very interesting story in September.
I'm eager to see him in game action, even in preseason game.
Here's a Beckwith story. I can't remember. I think I said this on Dumig's show. It was picked up by some of the stick carriers, so I might as well say it here. There was a suit. I'll just say a suit with the Bucks, who about 2 months ago, out of the blue, texted me. And I guess he might have read one. I know you were on a rampage about, Beckwith's not going to be available, which common sense told you he wouldn't be. And this suit texted me, and he said, hey, I'll bet you a case of beer Beckwith will be ready by regular season.
And those are fighting words to Lee. Case of beer, that's fighting words.
And so I took him
that
up
got
on
his
it.
Attention, right, Steve?
So I took him up on it, you know, and I said, hey, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I have to pay off the case of beer. But the caveat to this, the catch to this is, I talked to the same suit right after the first practice, and I went up to him and said, hey, help me out. Who are a couple players? Just want two players that I'm missing that you're seeing and you think they're doing really, really well. And he gave me a couple names. One of those names was Devontae Bond, who happens to be battling Beckwith for that
opening
spot.
Don't count out Bond. He's not going down without a fight, Steve.
Yeah, two things. One, going back to Chris Godwin, after practice today, and this is a I'm not going to say it's an extended practice because that might get the Bucks in trouble or something, but it ran a little bit long. Maybe it started a little late. Maybe they took an extra break. I don't know. But there was a lot of work in today's practice. After practice, Chris Godwin, extended time way in the side on the corner with the jugs machine, with Todd Monken on his back, pushing him, belting him with an umpire's pad, you know, to work on those distracted, contested catches. A lot of extra work. Talked to Mike Evans. I forgot everything he said. I got a lot in my notebook. But one thing he did say is what a great job Monken is doing with Godwin. And we all know that Monken is an extraordinary coach for receivers. He fixed Mike Evans. That was his number one job last year. Humphreys has gone from tryout player to a legitimate NFL receiver. He's done a lot of good work, and I think Godwin's his next new prodigy, if you will.
You know what? I think it's very interesting that you bring up Monken's name because, Lee, if things go as well as a lot of Buck fans think they will this fall, Monken could emerge as a star. He could.
I agree.
Because I'm not going to hold it against Monken that they didn't have a completion more than 45 yards last year. That's not on the coaching. They didn't have any burners. They,
bingo.
You know, even Mike Evans, as good as he is, and he's awfully good. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans is awfully good. But yards after his catch is not his forte. That's why he's working on it so hard this offseason. They didn't have the horses, last year. I think Monken, this could be a very big year for Munkin's future in this league.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, when you're not calling the plays, it's hard to get elevated in this league. He's not calling plays.
I think the next step is offensive coordinator, perhaps, for Todd Monken. Could be.
Maybe. I mean, I think he'll interview well. He's certainly qualified.
As in a play caller. That's his title now, but he's not calling the plays. And Cutter has hinted in the past that he wants to, you know, shove some of those responsibilities on Monken because he does believe Monken is capable of doing
that. He's also proven he doesn't mind being Cutter's lead dog with some of his remarks to DeSean Jackson.
Exactly. And, I think if Monken moved on after this season to take an OC job somewhere, I don't think any of us would be shocked. He is that caliber, and it's great to have a guy of that caliber. Devontae Bond, you mentioned him, had a sack today. Coming off the edge, very explosive.
We don't know much about this kid.
He's an explosive runner, explosive guy, speed guy. And there's some depth. There's some depth on this team in some interesting areas, at least some talent anyway.
Ira, what do you think about this? And we were talking about depth at linebacker. All of a sudden, they have depth at linebacker. Where before
I thought that was a problem.
Yeah. And well, now it sure seems like they've got depth. If everybody stays healthy.
Seems like it.
Yeah, seems like it. If Bond continues to practice well, same with Beckwith. I'm convinced. I'm not saying it's going to be 12%, 15%, 20%. I am absolutely convinced. If you look at the personnel on the roster.
I know what you're going to say.
They're going to be running some 3-4. What do you think about that?
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. The argument against that was they didn't have four good linebackers.
That's right.
You know, and by the way, if anything should happen, God forbid, to Quan Alexander, Beckwith's absolutely going to be the backup middle linebacker.
I think you may be right.
No question about that. Lee, I think you're making an outstanding point. Second year in Mike Smith's system. I was talking to Derek Brooks today, and I said, what's your biggest reason for optimism that the Buck defense is going to be top 10, top 12? He said, Mike Smith coming back. Incalculable asset.
Really?
Yeah. He couldn't stop talking about it. Talked to Brooks about Beckwith and Levante and Quan. And, boy, if anybody knows about NFL linebacking, it's 55. He's very high on these guys.
Can you share some thoughts?
Read my columns over there.
Okay, I didn't want to blow up your column.
But,
yeah.
Lee, to your point, I think it's an excellent point. I think you're ahead of the curve on it. I think in year two, Mike Smith's going to be comfortable enough and confident enough, and he's got Cutter's full blessing. Mm-hmm. Cutter yields to Mike Smith. We know the respect he's got for him. I think he's gonna shake things up and present a few wrinkles that's going to give the offenses a little bit of a surprise.
I read something. I'm reading Wade Phillips' book. Wade Phillips, obviously.
Tremendous defensive coordinator.
Son of Bum. Yeah, he's legendary defensive coordinator. Son of Bum. Bum Phillips, that is, who was a very, very popular coach in his 70s. A very successful coach. He coached the old Houston Oilers in their heyday. Well, at any rate.
Now Wade was an average head coach, Lee. But a tremendous assistant. Coach.
Tremendous assistant. Mediocre. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he had a couple playoff teams with Denver, with Buffalo, and that was about it. At any rate, we all remember Lovie Smith, my system, my scheme.
Can't use Revis.
Stubborn as could be. Well, do you notice that Cutter has said this more than a couple of times? He always references a roster turnover.
Churn.
30%, he says, all the time.
It was a big theme of John Gruden's news conference today. Brian Glazer went out of his way to say Gruden
25.
Added 25 new players to the team, which is almost half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, in Wade Phillips' book, and it's not so much X's and O's book, it's more like his experiences, learning from his dad. His son is also an NFL assistant coach, Wes Phillips, if I remember his name correctly, or Wesley. I was reading a chapter yesterday, and something really jumped out at me. It really jumped out at me. Phillips is a 34 defense kind of guy. That's his core. But he's not opposed to running 43. He's sort of like Mike Smith in a sense that, you know, use what you have, the talent you have available. And he said, you have to be flexible with your defense in the NFL today because of roster turnover. What's Cutter saying? Cutter always talks about that. And I immediately thought of Cutter, and I immediately thought of Mike Smith. You know, Mike Smith came in, and here we're talking about they might use some 34 because of the personnel they have available. And I just struck a chord with me reading that about Wade Phillips saying, because of roster turnover, you have to be flexible.
We're not saying that 3-4 is going to be their base defense.
No,
we're not saying that. And they're not drafting players for a 3-4 defense. But you're going to see the 3-4 utilized this fall on occasion.
Yeah, more talent means more flexibility. And obviously, with more familiarity with the defense, Mike Smith should feel more comfortable experimenting, doing some different things. One of the things I wrote about the other day on JoeBucksFan.com was J.J. Wilcox telling me that the Bucks, and I saw it with my own eyes, the Bucks running some three safety looks out there, which he thought would help them better prepare against teams that have double tight end threats like the Bucks do, like other teams in the league do. Patriots are an offense that they run. And so that's another example of something different. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see. So much really revolves, the 3-4 type of stuff really revolves around who stays healthy. And that's really just a massive mystery.
By the way, speaking
mystery.
Of safety, guys, quickly, tell me if I'm getting ahead of myself. But
getting ahead of yourself.
I think at least to start, Keith Tandy has one of those starting safety jobs.
Looks
am I wrong, Steve? You love to disagree. Can you disagree on
no,
that?
No, I don't disagree with you because the guy had four picks in the last five games. He's in his prime. He's in a contract year. You're not going to give him a shot to keep going? I mean, he's a veteran. He's a good guy. Jameis says he's the only guy who gets there as early as he does. He hits all the boxes. Give him a shot.
It's his job to lose.
Yeah,
Lee.
It's his
it
job.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
His job.
And a lot of fans, they want us to, who's going to be starting in what position? And outside of the obvious, we really don't know because – you know, it's August 2nd when we're recording this. It'll be August 3rd when it publishes this podcast. So it's still way early.
All right, couple things, Ira. Of course, first, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. More than 70-plus years of family-owned Ed Morse across Florida. And that's a real person. That was a real person. Ed Morse, founder of the dealership, still family-owned. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Start your car shopping search there. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. You know, if you've just been thinking about a Cadillac, Get some education. Head out there for a test drive. Many Cadillac options are very affordable. And definitely, they support Ira. I mean, you want to support Ira. Well, you can give him a hug in Miami before the game at thefanretreat.com/Miami event. Or, of course, you can support Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.
Steve, should I wear my Ed Morse regalia at the fan retreat?
And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I don't know. I'm assuming Fan Retreat will have some regalia for you. I saw some pretty cool T-shirts that Fan Retreat was wearing when they were out here.
Well, these Ed Morse shirts are awfully nice, Steve.
I don't know. I think maybe you change your shirt at the halftime of the Fan Retreat event. You know, something like that. Just go in a corner.
Somebody might spill a little Riesling on it over there, Lee. I got to change
beat
shirts.
Salad. You know what? If the crowd's too big, just change your shirt in front of everybody. That should clear them out. All right. You know what, Ira? Right now, last time when I announced the Fan Retreat event, you called the CEO of Fan Retreat that guy.
That guy.
You talked to that guy. You were supposed to be there to talk to that guy. So you know what? I did talk to that guy, and now we're going to hear just a little bit about Fan Retreat because it's a really cool concept. Sean Lemon is the CEO of FanRetreat.com, my favorite new website, and just exactly where anybody who's traveling, who loves sports, who just needs tickets for something, who has to go somewhere, visit your mom because she's sick in Chicago. That's where this is your new travel site, your new ticket site. And Sean, what does everybody need to know about the brand new website, fanretreat.com? And may I say, it's not necessarily brand new. You've just ramped it up to a new level now where it's available nationwide.
First, Steve, let me tell you a quick story about why we created fanretreat.com. What happened is I went to the Chicago Bears game in 2014 to go root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I bought tickets to the wrong game. I walked up to the front, and they said, "Hey, Sean, you got tickets to the Cincinnati Bengals game next week." And to add insult to injury, I was sitting in the front of the line with a Buccaneers bathrobe. That was my attire for that day.
So wait a minute. So fanretreat.com, we can say, is run by a stick carrier.
It's a stick carrier. That's it. I'm a stick carrier through and through.
And so, okay, so here you are in Chicago. You're wearing a Bucs bathrobe with no ticket.
Bucs bathrobe with no ticket. With my wife and friend that I was supposed to buy the tickets for, and I just felt like a buffoon. At that point, my wife told me that I'm not allowed to plan any other events. And so I went home and said, I got to create a site where you can buy your tickets, buy your flights, hotels, rental cars, all in one place. And then to add on top of that, I want to connect fans to each other. So we have a big social platform on our website to connect fans with each other so they can hang out during, before, and after events, like our fan retreat.
So fanretreat.com is sort of a cross between StubHub and Expedia or something like that?
Yes, exactly. It's like a mix between StubHub and Expedia, only better, because when you bundle, the more you bundle, the more you save. And it's just convenient. You don't want to have to go to Expedia, buy your flights, your hotels, then go to Ticketmaster or StubHub, buy your tickets, and then try to find out who all is going to the game. You know, I'm a big fan of JoeBucksFan.com, and I always see on the comments, hey, how do we hang out with each other? How do we meet up with other Bucks fans? This website fixes all those solutions.
Yeah, it's really neat. I have to say the idea is spot on because there are legions of fans everywhere who, yeah, they're going to the game. And as the game gets closer, not only do they have their tickets in hand, but they want to connect. They want to know where that Bucks-friendly tailgate is. You see it in every city. I travel to games, and I see it too. You know, you just see the spotty tailgates. I'm sure those people, a lot of them would have a lot more fun if they were connected before, during, and after the game. So now these fan retreats. Now we know we've got the big one coming up. Ira Kaufman, Irv. The Hall of Fame, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. You have got him solo for a Q&A, a hangout, a free beer, free food festival with Bucks fans, Hampton Inn, Miramar, right before the Dolphins game the night before. 5:30, we're kicking off?
5:30, kicking off.
What are people going to expect there? Because all they got to do is show up and just basically have a fan retreat party. What are they going to expect?
That's it. If they show up, there's no RSVP necessary. If they show up, then they'll also, you know, be privy to free food, free drinks, a lot of fun prizes will be provided at the event. And if you book on fanretreat.com, buy your event tickets or any of your travel components, we'll be providing you even a more special gift. I think you're really going to like it.
Nice. Now, I know you've had, right on JoeBucksFan.com, an offer for Bucks fans buying tickets. What do they got to remember about that Joe Bucks Fan code?
Remember, Joe Bucks Fan is the promo code. You'll save money on Bucks tickets. Our tickets are already the cheapest for Bucks tickets on the net. We monitor every day what every other site is selling Bucks tickets for. And for this event, we're making them cheaper than anybody else. So we're going to give you $10 off on top of that cheap Buccaneers tickets. So get your tickets on the site now. Save some money.
All right, that's fanretreat.com. Fanretreat.com. Just burn it into your brain. I'll say this. You know, if you're on the fence going to, whether you're going to Miami or not, or you're going, thinking of just driving the day of the game, however you're going, now you know you can come the day before and enjoy a fantastic free party from Fran Retreat. Maybe that tips you over, maybe not. Of course, we got other events here in town, our big watch party at Abe's Place. But that's not. There's still going to be 1,000, at least 2,000. You think, Sean? 5,000 Bucks fans in Miami?
It's got to be at least 5,000. Hey, maybe 10,000. Like I said, we got to get our fans out there. This is our season. We're going to the playoffs, and I know it's about to happen.
So if you're going into Miami, like I know so many of you are, night before Hampton Inn, Miramar, about 5 miles from the stadium or so, you can hang out there. 5:30, totally free. Great Q&A. Ira Kaufman, I'll say this. Ira is known for being in those situations. He's got loose lips. He says too much. He'll give all sorts of inside stuff because he can't control himself, and he doesn't understand we're living in the modern age of he's going to be on Twitter and Facebook being shared with whatever he's saying, but that could be pretty darn cool. So, Sean, Fan Retreat, we love having you with JoeBucksFan.com. It's exciting. It's new. It's a Florida company. No more bathrobes until you check your ticket stubs, right?
Definitely. No more bathrobes. My wife won't allow it.
All right, thanks, Sean. Ira, isn't that an awesome awesome opportunity there for fans?
I'm kind of looking forward to this trip.
You should be.
Now DeKemper's coming, and he's going to be there that night too. So you can push, you know, you can slap DeKemper around too. You stick carriers, but Steve, you've seen me in a crowd. We were at Legends that night with the draft party. You know I can work a crowd with the best of them.
I know.
I'm not Pulaski, but I'm a close second.
Mingling.
Yeah, if you had another 10 inches on you, you'd be Pulaski. And it's different when you work
the
room.
Excuse me, Steve?
Well, Pulaski's like
6'5".
Yeah.
I was working blue here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Let's keep this G-rated.
Howard Stern.
Justin's like 6'5". You know what I'm saying?
What am I, John Holmes over here? Let's keep this on the up and up over here, so to speak.
All right. For people listening who don't really understand what the stick carriers are, this is our last podcast before the big training camp takeover on Saturday. And I have to say this. One, the stick carriers, rabid fans. Nickname for rabid fans, but it's become a rabid fan group fueled by the Bucks Uncensored podcast, which Ira has given his blessing to the stick carriers. Dirk Cutter endorsed the stick carriers.
Dirk Cutter has referred to them, yes.
He loves them. He says he's fired up about them right here on this podcast. And Jason Light has made some Twitter references supporting the stick carriers, players, Vernon Hargraves, et cetera.
The Glazers don't mind them either.
Saturday's event at $1, it's going to be wild. Come out to practice. You're going to hear chanting, cheering. Like, it's going to be treated as if it's a playoff game, the whole practice. And I don't have a problem saying I talked to the Glazers today at $1, and they are pumped up about Saturday.
Should people get
there
early, Steve?
Gates open 7:30. Get there as early as you want. You can be there at 9 o'clock if you feel like it. You might not get a seat, but so what? Overflow is plenty of room.
But can you repeat that again, Steve? Just to make sure people understood what you just said and didn't drive off the road and hit a tree. Who is excited about the stick?
Yeah, I talked to Team Glazer about Saturday's training camp takeover.
And that would be the team owners, right?
Team owners, smiling, okay. Pumped up, really looking forward to it, very excited about it. So it's real, it's legit, and it's going to be quite a spectacle. And if you just like a spectacle, just come on out because it's going to be something.
Steve, you think at some point during a break in the action, all of a sudden you're going to see like players turning towards the crowd, like reacting to the stick carriers?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
It periodically happens now. If you got like, what are there going to be, 200 people, 200?
200 people chanting Levante, Levante.
I honestly think you'll be looking more like 500, 600, 700.
Well, I had texted Pulaski back and forth recently, I was on his podcast. Excuse me, I was on his podcast earlier this week, and I told him, I said, if there's any player that resonates the stick carrier, resonates not the word I'm looking for, but I'm trying not to stutter, captures the stick carrier movement in spirit, it's Quan Alexander. And I said, I bet you any money, you start to chant Quan, 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 like 200 people, Quan, he's going to recognize it. He'll be waving.
And guess who's going to be on hand, Steve? Hard Knocks. You don't think those cameras are going to gravitate towards the stands?
Absolutely. When I came up with this idea with Justin, were you there when we first discussed this?
I was with you at a chain establishment, you and Justin. I don't know embryonic stages or not.
Were there any beverages involved?
Yes, there was. Adult beverages.
I don't remember if that was a takeover conversation. Whatever it was, that was the part of the idea was, let's pick a day where Hard Knocks can realize how stale training camp can be. And then see a difference on what this really is versus coming day one. We're excited about that. All right, Ira, look, there's more to talk about these darn Buccaneers. I wanted to mention quickly, I did ask John Gruden, and I'll write about this. We can get into it more in the next podcast. But I did ask John Gruden, point blank, at the end of the Greg Schiano regime, this is how I phrased it, the end of the Greg Schiano.
And this was a reference that I made in my column also.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want him to wiggle out of it. I said, John, at the end of the Greg Schiano regime, did the ownership here, the Glazers, reach out to you in any possible way
to gauge your interest
about coaching this team again? And he didn't say no. He danced, he dodged, and he winked at me at the end. I don't know what that was about, but I'm assuming
I don't even want to think about
that. I'm assuming it was his way of saying, you know what happened, big boy.
Well, I was told on pretty good authority, Steve, that it did happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it happened. He didn't say no. All he had to say was, no way, man. You know, and he didn't do it. So, but I will pull up that audio maybe for next podcast. We can. Yeah, it's just a neat little thing to hear. A neat little nugget of Bucks
history. That was a good news conference at One Buck. Well, well done.
Oh, it was
and
fun.
I think Brian Glazer's getting much better as in front of a camera, in front of the podium. He was pretty smooth today.
Well, not just that, but there was a segment of the video clip about his father, where he was talking about the trade for Gruden. That was originally on NFL Network. It was a feature on Derek Brooks, I want to say, but that was originally an NFL Network feature. And I can't remember who it was, and she's an comedian. I can't remember who, but I want to say Jenna Lane. After that had aired, maybe a week later, we were talking about it. And this person said, did you notice how relaxed Brian Glazer looked in the video? And that gets to your point that he used to be uncomfortable in front of crowds, in front of the media. And apparently he's overcoming that.
Well, he's a married man now. These things can happen. All right.
Chucky was pretty emotional today, Steve, at times.
I was going to praise you. I was about to give you praise. As predicted, you said your last podcast you believed Gruden would get choked up at this event. And Gruden got choked up. And if you didn't know it, he told everybody, I'm choked up. I got to stop talking. So it was emotional for him, and it should be. As he said on the sidebar, hey, he grew up here. He grew up stealing Copenhagen from Scott Brantley's locker when his father coached here. It was one of the things he said and explained how he used to
throw balls at Doug Williams, catch balls.
You know, throw balls in practice, you know, and get batted down by linebackers and things like that. So
I like how he got really fired up when it was brought up. I don't know if Chucky brought it up. He was asked about preparing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he brought up, which is a source of pride for him, when he played the role of Rich Gannon against that vaunted Bucks defense.
That was outstanding.
Yeah, they started like, I was ripping you, Brooks.
Yeah, we've got some good video. Go back on JoeBucksFan.com from yesterday. Lee wrote that up, that story right there about Rich Gannon and Chucky saying he might have done better against the Bucks in the Super Bowl, which was fun. I wish Gannon was still on the radio. I would call up and throw that at him.
And you know what? I think it's interesting that Gruden and Malcolm Glazer had a very special relationship. They were close.
Were they?
Yeah. Malcolm liked everything about John Gruden.
Did he really?
Yeah, from the first day.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, last take here, Ira. Chris Baker, he was on the practice field today. Hallelujah. And it's his first time. I talked to him, Ira. That interview is at JoeBucksFan.com, but I know you didn't see it yet.
Isbitz tells me, go ask Baker if he felt like practicing today. Go ask him, Ira.
Well, you didn't talk to him, I have to talk to him.
Well, Chucky got to me first, but next time.
All right, Ira, he said, I asked him about Sweezy, blocking Sweezy. And here's what he has to say. I want your reaction, Ira. He advised me that he played against Sweezy when he was on the Redskins versus the Seahawks, so he had some more intelligence on him than just one practice. Baker says, he's the guy that you love to have as a teammate, but hate to go against. He's very aggressive. Every offensive line needs that one asshole. He's our one guy that's kind of an asshole. What do you make of that?
And it fits in with everything I've been hearing. I talked to Dotson today, and I had already talked to Marpet. Lee, you saw that great quote from Marpet. Once Sweezy gets his hands on you, game over.
Wow.
I mean, that's a great quote.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to Dotson today about Sweezy. And, of course, he's playing off Sweezy's right shoulder right there. And he said, strong as an ox, strong as a bull. In some ways, he reminded him of Davin Joseph. He said, when Davin used to get his hands on you, you know, and Davin was a pretty darn good guard.
Yeah, he was.
And right guard as well. Sweezy is known for being a physical force with those hands. And then nasty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got Hawley's nastiness, but he's bigger and more physical. So I don't think the Bucks didn't want to lose that physical quality that Hawley has because it sets a tone. Mm-hmm. But Joe's undersized, and we know that, and that's why Marpet's moving in there. Look, the more I hear about Sweezy, you know, as long as he's staying healthy, he's going to be a big plus.
You know, I've noticed something with offensive linemen. It seems like the nice guys are the ones you don't want to tangle with on the field. for whatever reason. Like Marpet, you can't ask for a nicer guy. Sweezy, my dealings with him, he's been, you know, although he won't be very open with me, he's very polite.
Logan Mankins, you know, a gentleman.
Yeah, Donald Penn. Donald Penn is cool as hell, yeah. But he was nasty on the field. What is that? That they have split personalities? They're nice off the field, but on the field, I wouldn't want to tangle with him.
And I don't want to tangle with you anymore, Ira. So thank you to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, and Kaufman. Have a glass of Riesling. Get out of here.